Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, we thank you for the words we heard read today from your holy book. And now, as we listen to these words which come from my lips, I most humbly pray that you would pour through me the gift of preaching, that they remain no longer simply my words, but are instead transformed into your living word to each and every person who hears them, that they might be met in exactly their place of need. We pray this, Lord, in great anticipation and in the strong name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. When I was young, I used to love maps. I loved figuring out where I was, where I was going, and how I was going to get there. So back in my younger days, that meant that you generally took a map that was likely folded down into a relatively small rectangle that would be open in this huge way, and you would figure out, following on this piece of paper, how to get from point A to point B, and often have quite a bit of fun trying to close it back up in a way that was helpful both for carrying it with you and for using it when you were actually on the road. Later, of course, this transformed into books. When I moved to Long Island, I got a Rand McNally, I think, or maybe it was a Fedor's book that you could turn the pages to find from street to street. Then there came MapQuest. MapQuest was in relatively early days of people using computers to figure out other things than word processing, and you would put in where you were and where you were going, and it would give you a list of directions that you would print out and then follow specifically. Now, of course, we have apps on our phones. We have Google Maps or we have Waze, and I even got for Christmas a little attachment on my dashboard. So I am able to put my cell phone into that, put on my Maps app, and not only will it tell me where I want to go, but if I encounter something that I want to avoid, or if I just choose to go another way, it will recalculate immediately and change my map view, my direction, to get me where I want to go. Well, this is the question that Jesus is looking at with those he is speaking to today, only he's letting them know how to get where they want to go, not physically, but spiritually. Something that I think is particularly appropriate for us in these days of such stress and tension and exhaustion and anxiety. How do we get where we want to go spiritually? You see, before this passage that we read today, Jesus has cured a man who was born blind. The man was so excited that he went off and he told everybody what had happened. And some of the religious authorities did not like this tale at all, and they ran him out of town. At which point, Jesus went and found him and said, "Do you believe in me?" When the man said yes, the conversation continued in such a way that some Pharisees felt like they had to get into the conversation as well. And Jesus said, "I have given sight to those who were blind, but those who think they can see are blind now." And the Pharisees are like, "What? Are you saying we're blind?" And that's where we open today with our scripture. The Pharisees want to know, "You think we don't know what is spiritually centered?" And Jesus says, "Look, there is an appropriate way for the shepherd to get into the field. And people who jump the fence and then go call to the sheep, well, they're thieves and they're robbers and they don't have the story correct. This is a problem. You see, the shepherd has a voice that the sheep recognize. And that's who the sheep are going to follow. They're going to follow their shepherd when they hear the shepherd's voice. Now, one of the things you need to know about sheep herding back in ancient Israel is that unlike today, today the shepherd basically follows the flock, pushing it forward with the use of sheep herding dogs to help move it in the direction the shepherd wants it to go. But back then, 2,000 years ago, in Jesus' time, the shepherds actually led the flocks. They lived with the flocks. They stayed with them 24/7. They knew their sheep by name and their sheep knew them. And when the shepherd started going somewhere and called to the sheep went with him or her. And not only is this the way it is in Jesus' time, but this is the way it was 1,000 years before when David wrote the 23rd Psalm. So this has been the method of sheep herding for centuries, for a millennia or more. So when Jesus tells this story, when he offers this metaphor, this parable, everybody gets it. Everybody knows what he's talking about because they all also know the 23rd Psalm. The 23rd Psalm, which is in truth still today, 3,000 years since David first wrote or sung it, the most beloved psalm in our tradition. I cannot tell you the number of funerals at which I have read the 23rd Psalm because it speaks to such deep comfort for us. I have had confirmation class members choose to memorize the 23rd Psalm because it's the one that calls to them. I have been at hospital bedsides with a patient who was comatose or was in such a deep sleep that he or she was no longer responding and had said the 23rd Psalm and had them grip my hand or move in acknowledgement. The 23rd Psalm speaks to us. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is the one who guides me, the one who I follow, whom I follow. I shall not lack for anything. I shall have all I need. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. A more accurate preposition than beside in the Hebrew is to. He leads me to the still water. So not only is the shepherd guiding me into green pastures, but leading me to a place where the water is restful. And I might drink, I might fill myself with good food that is the grass and good drink that is the water. I think it's pretty true that in these days, we would all like greener pastures than those we are in. There is that old adage that the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. And even though I know that I am grateful for what I have in this time of anxiety and tension and indecision and even desperation of COVID-19, and I am grateful for having a roof over my head in a beautiful home, for having enough food, for having a flock for which to care, for having a daughter who is safe and healthy and still has her job, for having, I can go on and on and on, I am still very lonely. I am by myself. I have not gotten within 6 feet of another person other than accidentally at the market or something, and that has caused anxiety, not joy. And there is a part of me that longs to be in a familial structure where I have other people around me, where I could hug someone. And I know that there are those among you who have that situation, who, even though you're very grateful for what you have and very grateful for your family, there are moments where you go, oh, please, just a minute's peace, just some time for myself, just a little bit away from the kids or from the parents or from the grandparents or whatever. No matter where we are, who we are, not just in our own congregation, not just in Germantown or Philly or the United States, but around the world, no matter who we are. This is an exhausting time, a time where there's a great deal of stress. And I think we long for that good shepherd, for that green pasture, for those still waters. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For we are walking through the valley of the shadow of death, day after day after day, in the most real way in my life, ever. The other day, I was walking up to the church. I'm walking up Green Street. I think I was at Hansberry and Green, one of those spots where there are four-way stops. And I come up, and there is another gentleman who's walking the opposite direction. So we're coming perpendicularly to one another, and we are going to meet right at the street corner. Well, I have a mask on. He does not. So I stop in the middle of the street and I let him pass on by ahead of me so that I will follow and cross 6 feet after he has moved forward. Well, some smart guy in a car at the stop sign yells out his window at me, "He ain't gonna hurt you." And I thought to myself, I'm not afraid of him. I'm afraid of COVID-19. And that's the truth. We walk in fear all the time of either getting someone else sick or getting sick ourselves. We are walking through the valley of the shadow of death, and we are told not to fear. How do we do that? How do we do that when this invisible enemy is surrounding us, striking a wrong note, a sour chord in the midst of our lives? Jazz pianist Herbie Hancock tells a story in his book Possibilities of playing with the Miles Davis Quintet in the mid-1960s in Stockholm, Sweden. He says they were performing this evening and everything was just going right. They were on fire. They were just blended and connected in ways that were powerful and beautiful. They were just feeling each other's notes. And the audience in Stockholm was on the edge of their seats. They were with them. They were all connected, the musicians and the people. And it was just magical. And in the Miles Davis classic, So What?, they were building this wall of sound that was working toward Miles's solo. And they got to the height right before Miles took that breath to launch in to that solo, when Herbie hit a wrong chord. He said it was just off in every way, just hanging there like rotten fruit in the midst of this beautiful, up until that moment, piece of music. And he was just mortified, thinking he had ruined this incredible experience for everyone, not just the band, but everyone. And in a fraction of a second, Miles took a breath and he launched into his solo, blending Herbie's wrong chord in a way that Herbie never could have imagined, that just made it all not just right, but even more, better, something that took the whole piece into a new direction that was unimaginable just a second before. That is the place I believe we are in right now. The Pharisees don't get it. They don't get what Jesus is saying. So Jesus says, let me try it again. Let me give you another metaphor. Let me tell you another parable. I am the gate. Nobody gets where they're going except through me. You want to follow this gate. You want to walk through the gate to follow the shepherd, to go the way that I am calling you to go, into green pastures, new pastures. Because I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. Now this word for abundance, this word abundantly in English, I think has been mistaken, misused now for at least decades, perhaps even longer. And that when we hear it, I came that you might have life and might have it abundantly, we hear that you might have a bigger house, that you might have a nice home. It's the prosperity gospel and has been used as such. I came that you might have the good stuff. But that's not the right interpretation of the word. The word is perisson. Peri means around. You're putting a fence or something around. And son is kind of an intensifier. So it's a making a bigger circle. And this word is only used 5 times in the New Testament. It's used a couple of times in Matthew 5 in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And he is telling them, make your yes, yes, and your no, no, because anything more is nonsense. That more is the parison word. So you don't need to intensify. You don't need to make it bigger. You say yes, you say no, that's it. You don't need to expand it. In that same chapter, in chapter 5, a little bit later on, Jesus says, you know, you love your brothers and sisters, but if you don't treat other people, well, then you're not doing the right thing. That's nothing more than the Gentiles would do. Same again, this more idea. It's not expanding the circle. You need to expand the circle. In Romans, Paul uses it. He's talking about what are the difference between the Jewish people who believe in Jesus and the Gentiles who believe in Jesus. He says, what advantage do the Jews have? And it's that word parison, advantage. So it's a sense of more, a fullness of bigger. I came that you might have life and might have it to a more full extent. Not that you might be rich or you might be famous or you might have the biggest house on the block or you might be more talented than anyone else. No, I came so that you might be filled with the light of God's love and grace, that you might walk through the gate, follow the shepherd into these new greener pastures, that the sound that you bring and the sound that someone else brings might blend into a new song, a fuller song, a bigger song and story of God's grace and love and fullness, and that people might know me through you, through the fullness, the centeredness, the steadiness in the midst of the storm that you display. So here we are in the midst of an awfully big storm, in the midst of the valley of the shadow of death. Here we are surrounded at all times with fear and anxiety and information and misinformation and concerns for our lives, the lives of those we love, the lives of our country and the people all around the planet. And we are called at this time to go through the gate, to listen for the shepherd's voice, that we might be more fully centered in the knowledge of God's love for us, and not fear, but instead know that we are his sheep, the people of his pasture, beloved, cared for, being led into greener pastures, that we might dwell in the house of the Lord our whole lives long. Amen.